Welcome back to Word on the Hills with me, Gwen Sheltimer, my co-host Felicity Signal-Reed, and our long-distance guest this week, Sue Hewitt. Another thing we asked Sue by email was what started her writing and what encouraged her and inspired the development of her book, The Cunning Woman's Cup. And this is what she wrote in reply.
I have always dabbled with writing. Initially, I began writing poems, one or two of which were accepted for anthologies. I felt there was a big element of vanity publishing involved and really felt uncomfortable about this. So one day as I was listening to Radio 4 and musing over the merits, or not, of my poems, the voice of Professor Germaine Greer, a great influence in many aspects of my life, came over the airways. I decided to send a couple of poems to her on the off chance she might have time to respond, expecting to hear nothing. Amazingly, she took the trouble to reply. I still have the letter. She suggested that to improve, I should read a lot more poetry. I do not actually like reading poetry. I'm afraid I was really put off at school. I read novels, though. Perhaps I should write novels. I began with some short stories and joined a local writers group for support and inspiration. I entered some competitions and was overjoyed to get third place in a Writer's News magazine competition with a short story called Exodus from Eden. My employer has a daughter, Susanna Bates, who at that time had just written her first novel, which had been traditionally published, and whose agent is Claire Alexander. Susanna offered to ask Claire to read this story, and Claire was very encouraging. The Cunning Woman's Cup began life as a short story, but Alice and Margaret just kept nagging away, and it began to expand and expand until it became obvious to me that a novel was emerging. And so it did, slowly. I find that to keep going, one needs supportive groups of like-minded people. I'm a member of Kelso Writers' Workshop. We have a website and a blog and meet fortnightly at the Abbey Row Centre in Kelso in the Scottish Borders. Online, I have joined a few groups. My main group is Women's Writers, Women's Books, a global support network for women writers run by the amazing Barbara Boss.
So even though Sue received encouragement from readers and sent her story out to publishers, in the end, she decided to self-publish. Here is what Sue said about her experience publishing with Amazon.
When I began, there was no such thing as indie publishing, and even when this became a possibility, I really thought there was no way I could follow that route, as I have no way of accessing, editing, proofreading, and did not have the IT skills to format. I contacted companies that advertised as offering these services, several of whom were interested in the project. But their costs, although quite reasonable, I suppose, given the service they offered, meant that this was way beyond my means. Then a breakthrough. Maureen Still, a very good friend who had read the story and was very supportive and enthusiastic, put me in touch with Christine Foster, who I had known some years before and who actually lived nearby in the house my husband and I had rented when we first moved to Scotland from Kent. She had literally just completed a proofreading and editing course and was looking for a project to set her on her path in her new profession. She read The Cunning Woman's Cup and decided it would be perfect as a first venture. She transformed an amateur manuscript into a polished piece of writing ready for publication. To my astonishment, her son Kit, whom I remembered as a small boy at school with my own sons, is now an award-winning cover designer with all the formatting and other skills I knew I did not possess. Between them, they offered a complete self-publishing package at a price I could afford, just. Without their expertise, The Cunning Woman's Cup would have stayed well and truly buried. Publishing with Amazon was all in the hands of Kit Foster. Without him, it would never have happened, so I cannot really say much about the hows. But it has certainly been a fascinating experience, and reviews the best bit of the whole thing. Seek out online review groups. You offer up your work to a select group of reviewers who, in return for a free e-copy, will review on Amazon and Goodreads. I would recommend Angela Rose's Book Reviewers Workshop. There are others out there too. Some may charge. Take care which group you choose. I have made contacts with readers around the planet, and their responses have given me the encouragement to crack on with novel number 2. My main difficulty has been with marketing, about which I knew nothing. I am learning, and now use Facebook and Twitter, not to their full advantage, I imagine, but nonetheless I'm getting the hang of social media to some extent. Having never had an agent or a traditional publisher, I cannot compare that with self-publishing. I imagine it must be great to have experts handling that side of things. Certainly marketing is taking up time I would much prefer to spend writing.
Well, we all sympathise with Sue when it comes to the marketing and not being able to write, but unfortunately that's one of the things that goes with writing. And now let's hear from Sue's novel once again. For our second dip into the novel, she's chosen a scene which takes place between a married couple, Violet and Wiley, who years ago, in a terrible accident, lost their twin sons while they were playing climbing games in the orchard. Violet has never fully recovered, and until this moment has not been outside the house since that day. Once again, Margaret Rowland will read it for us.
Sunday afternoons at Henge Farm were a ticking, silent time. After a large traditional Sunday lunch, Violet and Wiley would adjourn to the parlour. The rest of the week, this room sat empty, gathering dust. On Friday mornings, Violet would polish the large, dark pieces of furniture she had inherited from her in-laws, wind the clocks, and put the vacuum cleaner round in preparation. The windows faced the rolling countryside behind the house. Once, the fields had all been theirs as far as the eye could see. But over the years, Wiley had sold a field here and a field there to neighbouring farmers, as it had become too much for him to manage. He should have taken on a new hand when Callum died, but he had never got round to it. He sold off a few more fields until the farm was little more than a small holding, a few hectares of arable, some silage, the rest mostly grazing for his sheep. Wiley sank into an old overstuffed armchair covered in dark maroon brocade, trimmed with faded cut ruche, his feet propped on a matching footstool, its ancient fringing sun-bleached and perished. Habitually, he hid behind a copy of Farmer's Weekly, occasionally grunting his agreement or otherwise with various articles. Violet usually read her weekly women's magazines. This Sunday, however, she just sat and looked out of the window. "Wiley, can you put your paper down for a while, please?" Wiley slowly lowered the pages down until he could see Violet over the livestock price section. "Wiley, I need to attend to the twins' bedroom. I want you to give me the key." His reply was short and definite. "No," he said, and raised the paper again. Violet said nothing for a time. She just looked hard at the front and back pages of his paper. She tried to look through it to see his face, to judge his reaction. Wiley knew she was staring at him. It made him feel very uncomfortable. He could barely believe what she had just said. He could have just imagined it. No, he peered suspiciously over his paper to see Violet's waiting expression. "No," he said, more forcibly. "Don't you dare hide behind that paper again. I'm serious, man. I need to do this. We need to do this. They are never coming back, my babies, never." "You couldn't take it, woman. You're too frail, too delicate." Violet Turnbull stood up from her chair. She rose to her full height, all 4 feet and 11 inches of her. She strode determinedly across the room. She bent and ripped the Farmer's Weekly from her husband's gripped hands. "Look at me," she spoke in a voice like breaking ice. "Look at me, Wiley Turnbull. What do you see? an old woman, an old, sick, frightened woman, a grieving creature, unable to face anything outside of her own front door. Now look again, think back, man, think back to the young woman you married, strong, hard-working, barren, yes, for far too long, but happy. I poured my life into this farm then, our farm, our home, our lives. Then a miracle, our miracle, two miracles, and I poured my life into them. She hesitated, filled her lungs with air for the next tirade. I do not want to die a frail, grieving old woman, and what if you die before me? It's very likely, you know, I'll be a sad, mad, old widow woman with a locked room like a shrine, like something out of a Victorian novel. I want to hang up my washing on the drying green. I want to go to a women's rural meeting. I want to be able to walk out of the door to the car without having to cover my head and eyes, almost collapsing with terror at the hugeness of it all. Wiley looked up at her face from his seated position. For years he had looked down, down into a sad, distant face, an empty face, a loveless face, a fearful face. This face was different. From beneath the massed wrinkles and downy soft hair, a face from the past glared down at him. Not beautiful, certainly, but striking, striking green eyes and black hair flying in the wind. Violet, what do I do? Where's the key, Wiley? Get me the key now, while I have the strength. Wiley rose slowly. He took Violet by the elbow and began to steer her gently back to her chair. She shook him off. The key, she demanded.
Wasn't that lovely? Well, many thanks to Margaret Rowland for reading it. And thanks again, too, to Sue Hewitt for contacting us in the first place. It was really rather fun. And we wish Sue a lot of luck with her book over in Northumberland, UK. Look for her Facebook page under the title of her book, The Cunning Woman's Cup, and you can probably find out a lot more. Listeners can also buy Sue's novel from Amazon or order it from a British bookstore. To connect with us, please send comments, queries, or suggestions for whom we might interview in future programs to our email, wordonthehills897@gmail.com, or connect with us at our website, www.wordonthehills.com, where you'll find all our programs archived and you can listen to them anywhere and anytime. Thanks again for tuning in. We hope you'll join us for another program next week, right here on Northumberland 897. Truly Local Radio.